who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll call the meeting of the Sussex County Council June 15th, 2010 to order. First item is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker.
We do have several changes recommended. First, we will not need approval of the minutes. Also, under myself, we would like to change the order of number 1 and 2. So that the amendment to rules of procedure would come first, followed by appointment to Board of Adjustment. And then under Eddie Parker, Director of Assessments, Building Permits within Incorporated Municipalities, we'd like to defer on that till next week. And under Executive Session, we do not need personnel or land acquisition.
Any other changes from Council?
I have a question. I just talked to Mr. Moore. He was saying that if we change the rules of procedure, it's not going to apply to the current discussion for the current possible appointee. That's one thing. Another thing is I happen to know that the appointee has to get to Dover today, and we were thinking that he would be first on the agenda. Is there any way possible that we could keep it the agenda as is for the appointment?
Ms. Deaver, why don't you make the motion that we approve the agenda with the following changes: deletion approval of minutes, deletion of Eddie Parker, and deletion of personnel and land acquisition in the executive session.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the agenda as amended, which for the record will leave the appointment of Board of Adjustments and amendment to rules of procedure in the published order. Any discussion? I personally don't see a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, and thank you.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yeah.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have one letter, and this is to Mr. Phillips. I wanted to commend the Sussex County staff for a job well done. If this is standard operating procedure, then I've never seen the bar raised so high. Thank you, Sussex County. Below is my great experience last week. I had some standing water in my yard at my property at 212 Ann Avenue, Dewey Beach. I called the standard water sewer number from the phone book. I was transferred to the right department, was told I would receive a call later that morning. It was not more than 10 minutes later that I received a call from Rod Eldredge, and he was on my street coming up on my house. He saw the water and said he would investigate the problem. When I spoke to him in the afternoon, he had fixed the leak on the county sewer line and also saw a potential problem with mosquito larvae and flagged down a nearby county truck that sucks up the water and the larvae. Mr. Eldredge not only fixed the problem quickly, he kept me informed along the way and was extremely professional in his service to the public. He also took the time to diffuse a potential problem in our community with the mosquitoes. Thank you, Mr. Eldredge, and thank you, Sussex County Council, for finding such truly outstanding people to represent you. Thank you again, W.G. Edmondson.
Very good. I know for a fact he's not related to the county employee. It's very good to hear. We sometimes hear the bad, but there's a lot of good stories out there, and I'm glad you were able to read that into the record. Any other correspondence from council or otherwise? All right. Mr. Baker.
Thank you. The first item we have is regarding a Board of Adjustment appointment. I have a little bit of additional information to hand out. The first is a listing of the, as requested by Mrs. Deaver, of the prior members of the Board of Adjustment and the Planning and Zoning Commission. It's rather interesting. that Mr. Lank put together. I did want to mention that recently Mrs. Monaco, who served on the Planning and Zoning Commission from 1986 to 1994, passed away. However, there are the dates that each member served. Also, we have a list, an up-to-date listing of the members of the boards and commissions with the political affiliations to hand out to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
I believe last week we agreed in principle to ask the appointee if he would join us this week and maybe come up and let us just have a discussion and meet you. Mr. Moore, is that okay?
That is.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you, Ms. Deaver. Mr. President, members of council, good morning, and thank you for letting me speak. If I may, I'll make a couple of comments first, and then I'll leave myself open to you, within reason. First of all, there were a set of possible questions that were submitted, I believe, to the members of the council for future reference. They were drafts, of course, but I feel I would like to answer them in order, if that would be satisfactory with the council
idea.
Members.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. The first question was, why would I like to be on the Board of Adjustment? First of all, I don't think being on the Board of Adjustment is something that you would like or not like. I would consider that a civic duty. I live in Eastern Sussex. I see the results of Board of Adjustment decisions every day. I attend many community meetings, and on almost every meeting, citizens have voiced concern or frustration at the current Board of Adjustment and their actions. I think that's just a reality, and those of you that have attended sessions, especially in Eastern Sussex, but in Western Sussex, have had the same problem. I believe that new blood is needed. I actually happen to agree with Representative Ruth Briggs King. She spoke on the medical board last week and concerning the pediatrician problem, and her feeling was that people that were allowed to be on the medical board for three-year terms was entirely too long, that preconceived notions began to take effect and influence decisions. People became too friendly or too cozy with individuals involved, and this tended to sap their objectivity and their judgment. This was from Ruth Briggs King. All right, now, not about the Board of Adjustment, but about any board. My experience and qualifications. Well, I've taught history, government, geography for over 30 years. For over 20 years, I was chair of the social studies department in my school. I've been an acting vice principal. I've been a building representative for the teachers' union. I hold a master's degree with additional 60 credits on the graduate level, roughly the equivalent of a doctorate. All right, I was chair and member of the scheduling and rostering committee of my school for 20 years as well. I've been involved in dealing with people on almost a daily basis. I've received a commendation from the Pennsylvania House of Representatives for my educational achievements. I've been appointed by Governor Markell to the Council on Manufactured Housing. May 6th of this year, I attended the workshop or the annual conference of the Delaware and Maryland American Planning Association. I wasn't able to attend all of it. I was able to attend some of it. This past week, I attended the University of Delaware Institute of Public Administration's workshop on Board of Adjustment issues, and that was held up in Dover at the Paradis Center. I've attended Board of Adjustment hearings and testified at some of them. I have spoken to this council several times and to other state agencies on housing issues and the like. I've testified before the Senate and both state House and Senate hearings on housing issues. As a volunteer advocate for AARP and the Delaware Manufactured Homeowners Association, I have dealt frequently with senators and representatives of both political parties. As a member of AARP, I was asked to be on the selection committee for the new state president of AARP, the only regular member to be so requested. I've had summer jobs, as most of you have had when you've been in school. I've been everything from a janitor to a waiter. I have helped my uncle out on his poultry farm here in southern Sussex County. I helped plow fields, and I learned how to drive on a tractor when I was 8. I was also run over by one, incidentally, accidentally. At least that's what my uncle claimed. I sometimes have had my doubts. My belief about the responsibilities as a member of a board of adjustment, this I think is important. I believe the duty of a board member is to hear and evaluate requests brought to the board in light of governing state law and the county code. Personality should not take any part in this discussion. It must be done based on the evidence presented and the testimony of witnesses. A member must also take care that proper procedure is followed. According to an attorney that I spoke with last week, and this has been part of a regular course, any variation from proper procedure on appeal, and Mr. Moore might agree with me or disagree with me on this, is grounds for an automatic reversal in court, should it be appealed.
Excuse me, say that again, please.
Any deviation from proper procedure in deciding a case brought before the Board of Adjustment is grounds for automatic reversal when it if it's appealed to court. That just happened about 2 weeks ago, and it was decided by the state Supreme Court that prescinding from the merits of the case, whatever those merits were, procedure was not followed by the County Board of Adjustment. And they're referring to Sussex County. All right, for that reason alone, the decision was reversed. This is part of the problem that I have seen, and those of you that may have attended board meetings have also seen. Frequently, procedure is not followed. And again, very possibly because people have become too comfortable. It's too natural to sort of do what is normally done. Okay, when this occurs, there's a problem. I think all of you have heard from Mr. Lank or know about it indirectly that of the 8,000 requests for adjust board of adjustment variances, 7,000 of them have been approved. 1,000 have not. According to the code and according to state law, the code holds unless there is strong evidence to the contrary. So the burden of proof is on the petitioner. It's not on the code. If the code has required 7,000 variances out of 8,000, either there's something really wrong with the code or there's something really wrong with the Board of Adjustment. It has to be one or the other. And this really, really concerns me. The fourth question was, can I attend most meetings of the board? Yes. The fifth question, philosophy. Well, I have my undergraduate degree was in philosophy, so I had a teacher who gave me a captive audience, and I'm good for an hour. I promise that won't happen, honest. All right. First of all, I feel intelligent planning for growth in the county is essential. Kent County has 5 urban planners. Newcastle County has more than a dozen. We have none. We're the largest county in the state. We're one of the fastest growing, and we have no plan. We have no planner. This, I think, causes a tremendous amount of problem. Growth is going to come to this county, whether we plan for it or not. The point is to make growth work, not just for the present, but for the future. I'm a strong believer that we are the stewards of the land. We're not the owners. We're not the masters of it. We have to worry about our children, our grandchildren, and their children. Are we destroying the county, or are we making sure that what we consider to be important and what we love in this county will continue? It's up to you to decide if that is the way things are going right now. All right. Without proper planning and implementation, the county plays Russian roulette with the future. The environment is the reason why folks come here. That's the reality. We depend on agriculture and tourism. Our heavy industry is almost non-existent. Any of us here know that. I don't have to tell you. If we damage the environment needlessly, we damage the future. All right, somewhere down the road, the environment will impact our agriculture and our tourism if due care is not taken. And that means we destroy the future of Sussex County. Thank you for your time. Please, any questions you may have, I'll be glad to try to answer.
What do you mean by damaging the environment?
Damaging the environment means making it impossible for people to enjoy coming here. One example, if you've been along Rehoboth Bay at the wrong time of the day or night, you have seen the sea cabbage there. And if the wind is the wrong way, you know the sea cabbage is there. All right, there's a problem right now in Indian River with the amount of toxic chemicals that are being found in some of the groundwater.
The power plant.
Where do you think they came from?
Well, the toxic chemicals weren't there to begin with. They came from somewhere. Now, that's primarily DENREC's problem to work that out. However, at the same time, I think that the county and the county organs of administration have to also take good care.
Well, you've
that.
Implied that it's some of the county's problem here, so that's why I want to know why you think they're there and why do you and where do you think they came from, so we can do something about it.
Well, Indian River. Indian River has one very large industrial plant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that happens to be the power plant.
I'm not surprised.
Okay.
Say that.
Well, part of the problem is, I think, if the power plant is the problem, some people claim it is. I suspect it may be. I'm not saying it is for sure. But I think what we have to do is, if that's the case, then we have to look for alternative methods of power. Now, the county and the state has begun working towards that with the idea of wind farms. I don't think it's the only answer, but I think it's part of it. The problem is, I'm not going to make a decision and say that definitely it is the power plant, because I don't have the evidence. I'm not going to go off on my own and say, this is it, and therefore, don't confuse me with facts. I want the facts. If it's brought before me, should I be on the Board of Adjustment, I'll want to know the facts and the evidence. What's important? Have they proved anything or not? With the power plant, primarily that is the difficulty of DENREC. However, if we turn around and start approving various things that are around the bay that also will impact on the water table, then that's a problem that we have to deal with. We can't pretend, as I've heard in some cases, oh, that's the state's business, it's not ours. We'll do what we want to do, and the state will have to clean up after us. That's not the way we should do it. That's not being responsible. It's like you're saying, well, hey, son, I'll spend all your money and lots of luck. No, people have accused the federal government of doing that. Are we doing the same thing in a different way? I'm not saying we are. I'm posing the question. Does that answer your question, Councilman?
So you're saying replace the power plants with windmills?
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that if there is a problem with the power plant, then it should be dealt with. What I'm saying is that there are already alternate methods of power that are being developed slowly but surely, not just here, but all along the East Coast.
So what would you say, shut down the power plant?
No, I'm not saying that, sir.
So what would you say to do?
He wouldn't have the ability as a Board of Adjustment anyway, Sam. So
I understand, but he brought the subject up.
Okay. Mr. Wilson
okay.
has the floor.
This is, that's not my field, sir. If it should come up before the Board of Adjustment, I certainly couldn't tell you how I would rule. It would depend on what evidence is presented to me.
Mr. Wilson, you may have additional time later. Mr. Cole, have you anything?
I think I did hear the applicant state that he was concerned about the number of approvals that we've seen out of the Board of Adjustment. I concur with you. I think there's a problem, and I think you're citing that it's either the code or the board, or there's a problem to have such a lopsided type of approval process, because I concur. Or I've always stated, in my opinion, it's always that variances should be few and not numerous. And what we're seeing is numerous and just the opposite. So there is a problem, and if it's a code, we ought to be looking at the code and where are the problems and fixing it. All the years I've been here, there has been none of that, no attempt to fix any. And I also criticize the board. I think the board ought to be sending to us comments saying, we have problems here. We would like you to look at it. But we rarely get any kind of comments to fix anything or something that's not working properly from either P&Z or Board of Adjustment. So I guess it's just historically we just haven't expected that from them. I personally, all these years, would like to have them give us some recommendations on how we can fix things, because you're the ones that do that. So I kind of agree with that. I have seen you at many of these land use issues, especially pertaining to the manufactured housing. You've been actively involved, so I will compliment you on that. I'm sure you've been exposed to both sides of the arguments of the pros and cons. I am a firm believer that when people move into mobile home parks, it is there's a balance there. And I kind of do put the weight on the property owner, because I think private property is important. And I believe that when you go into those types of communities to live, there's certain, it's different. It's not the same as owning your own land and things like that. So there's a balance there, which it gets confusing. And a lot of people, once they get in there, they get shocked with what they see and want to change everything. So I think there's a reluctance on the county to jump into that issue. I think the state has tried to do it, and they've taken, they've been playing with it for 10 years and still haven't been able to resolve that one. So, but you've been exposed and heard it all, so I think that's good. I don't know if anybody else has ever had that background coming on the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you, sir.
Hardships. Give me an idea what you think are hardships. That's basically, I think, what's critical. Somebody comes up in front of you and says, I want this change, and you should be having to express a hardship. Kind of define hardships.
Well, one example of a hardship that would be very simple to explain, sir, would be if someone has become temporarily or permanently disabled, mm-hmm. And they require some form of variance to get the proper ability to enter into and leave their home.
Right.
That would be something that would be very simple to do.
Or a ramp.
The other hardships would have to vary case by case. I believe it is in the code right now that simply wanting a change because you want a change,
right.
For example, to make a little more money than you already are, is not necessarily a reason. Mm-hmm. However, if there is no reasonable way of developing your property without some form of a variance, that must be taken into consideration. So, as with all things apparently on the Board of Adjustment, you're actually a form of a judge. You have to weigh both sides and try to come to a reasonable decision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be automatically one thing or the other, but there's got to be some form of proof presented.
Would the lack of, just because a person's up here and he hasn't really clearly expressed a hardship, but there's no opposition, is there any concern that the board is lacks any precedent setting kind of decisions, because it seems they're all over the board, like one over here, it's no problem here, but because somebody said something, they'll deny that one. And I see a lack of consistency in the decisions and stuff like that. So that's why I say on hardships, I personally would like to see a clearly defined list of what are acceptable hardships. Mr. Phillips and I have many times have conversations about this. Like, I just thought a little while ago that the economy's bad. Is that a hardship? I don't think it should be.
I mean, all of us have the same hardship at the
moment.
Well,
that's true. Yeah. I mean, when it's spread across the entire country, the world, or whatever, it's not so much a hardship. But I think that when hardship should be like the configuration of the land, or in some of these older parks, maybe it's the size of these old lots. I mean, in other words, I'd like to see something other than just something out there, because my economy is always bad. I got too many children. Those are things I'd like to see a clear approach to the definition of hardships and things like that. So,
Sir, if I may, I think there are two things that you brought up. One was the idea of, you know, if someone wants something done and there's no opposition. frankly, whether or not there is opposition, unless they can show there's a good reason to grant the variance, it shouldn't be granted. Because one of the things I've learned recently is once a variance is granted, the variance remains with that parcel of land or that property forever, unless it's overturned on appeal. That means that right now there are at least 7,000 areas of land or properties that already are set in stone that are at variance to our code. That's not a good thing. The other part is what is a real hardship. I think there should be certainly guidelines as to exactly what a hardship should be. I think a hard and fast rule, again, there are times it's going to be a balancing act. Mm-hmm. And it, generally speaking, the code should hold. No, lacking any, you know, strong evidence or strong testimony to the contrary. Are there possibilities when that might not be the case? I'm sure there would be.
Well, another thing that would just concern me over the years, we had debates over signage for years, and we've tried to grapple with it. And then the county at our level, we changed the ordinance and put different things in. And the next thing you know, you look down at the Board of Adjustment, I got the sheet here, and it's a bunch of side yard, rear yard setbacks, maximum square footage and maximum height requirements for billboards. I go down some two-lane roads in Sussex County, and I see billboards that should be on I-95. And I'm amazed by how this stuff kind of gets approved. And it's because they went to the Board of Adjustment and they got all these, variances from and exceptions. Because probably there's no opposition. I would just hope if you go on the board and that you would be concerned that if these requests are so out of character, and just because there's no opposition, they get approved. And then on the other side of county, somebody might scream about it, and it gets denied. So, again, it's very inconsistent. And I think if our heights and square footage aren't big enough, then we ought to change it and stuff like that. So.
George, listening to you two talk here on this subject, I don't want to, before we go to something else, listening to you two talk here, we don't need the Board Adjustment. We'll just follow the codes. Forget the Board Adjustment.
Okay, thank you, Sam.
I mean, that's what we're saying here.
No, I'm actually saying those are my concerns. When you have, I agree with that. I think we grant too many of them, and nowhere else I know of grants them like Sussex County that I'm familiar with.
Have you anything else, Mr. Cole?
Well, Sam just interrupted my train of thought, but let me look over my notes here. I'll end with this one thing. And Sam, it's kind of ties in with what Sam is talking about. I see the argument with the courts at the federal level where people follow the Constitution and it's important, and other people say, oh, it's a living document. I guess Sam thinks our code is a living document.
Well, George,
my concern is how will you... Where will you put emphasis? We've had this debate at the county council for years. The land use plan, it's an ordinance. An ordinance is a law. What happens? Well, we've had attorneys say, oh, it's a guide. Well, how can a law be a guide? When it goes to the judges say, no, it's a law. And so there's all this back and forth. So could you maybe just quickly elaborate on how you feel that you, as a sitting on the board, will look maybe at some of these issues like the land use plan and like you said, the code is very important, I agree with you, and should be followed. Otherwise, why do we have a code?
Or why do we have Board Adjustment?
If I might answer, Councilman. First of all, the law is the law. And be it the code, be it a county ordinance, be it a state law, be it a federal law, be it a constitutional decision on the state or federal Supreme Court. The task of the Board of Adjustment is to follow the law. But the Board of Adjustment is there for a purpose. I think the framers of the ordinance that set up the Board of Adjustment and the state and the federal areas, it realizes that one size does not necessarily fit all. That there have to be, in some way, some adjustments to an individual difficulty. And that's what the Board of Adjustment is for. The Board of Adjustment is there to look and see if the law applies in a given case, or is there a strong argument to vary the law in that particular instance. So we're sort of, in a way, an appeals court, for want of a better term. And generally speaking, the law should hold. Are there exceptions or are there possible exceptions? Yes, but it's got to be proved. Just because somebody doesn't have anyone in opposition doesn't necessarily mean it's right. It just means people either didn't know about it, didn't care about it, but that ruling stands forever until or unless it's overturned. And that's something that I think folks tend to forget. And we're making decisions that might impact our grandchildren. And that has to be done very carefully and thoughtfully.
Ms. Deaver, and then we'll return the floor to Mr. Wilson, as promised. Well,
I certainly do see a need for a Board of Adjustment, and because there are hardships and there are unusual situations that people run into where they should be granted a variance. I'm very pleased with your answers to the questions, and I know that the current person who's serving in that position has been there 18 years. I have no personal agenda on my part wanting to appoint a new person. It's simply that some of our decisions or Board of Adjustments decisions are getting overturned, and I do believe we need a new face and new blood on the board. And from what you're saying, I think you would do an excellent job. And as you say, in a nutshell, there is either something wrong with the Board of Adjustment or there's something wrong with the code. And like Mr. Cole said, I wish the board had come to us if the code is too restrictive. We can change it. We're legislators. And so in that regard, they really have failed us. And I look forward to your appointment.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Wilson, do you have anything else?
Well, I really don't have much to say, but I do say this. I think that, first of all, we must understand as judges that there's a spirit of the law as well as there's a letter of the law. And I think that's where the Board of Judgment comes in. Joan has referred to this, and so have you. Like our Board of Adjustment has made several mistakes. How many times has been overturned in the last 10 years?
Well, that is something I think the attorney could probably answer much better than I
could. You're the one made the statement, so I'm going to you for
that. No, sir, I was just referring to simply to the fact that even within the last 2 weeks, the state Supreme Court overturned
it. That's the only one I know in the last 10 years, so I wonder how many more you knew. That's the one I know. I know about that. How many more do you know? You made the reference to they're making a lot of mistakes, so if they're making mistakes, I like to know about it.
Okay, Mr. Moore, could you be of some help here?
Wasn't a question directed to him. I directed to you, but that's all right for you. You want to pass it off?
No, sir. What I'm saying is, do I know the exact number of cases? No, I don't.
Then you should have been prepared when you made that statement.
Anything else, Mr. Wilson?
No, I'm done.
Lawrence, Lawrence, could you shed any light? Do you have any idea of have there been over the years? I know you have to take them to court, and you got to go to court. It's not like there's an appeal process here, which we've also talked about. You have to actually go to court on these issues, so people are reluctant to do it. But when it has happened, how many? There's not probably that many.
It's not many.
Many, but there are a few.
Because they don't go to court.
Right.
I mean, people don't want to go to the expense of going to court.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Really, magic number. I'm not sure what the magic number.
Okay. Okay.
Just a couple things. You did mention that made the claim there was no plan. We go through an exhaustive process to adopt a comprehensive land use plan, so you may want to look at that document sometime.
Okay, sure.
Also, the statement was we have no planner.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a consultant on retainer, Urban Research Development Corporation, who is the land use planner on call, and they've been very effective in helping us whenever issues come up. I understand what you're saying. A full-time staffer with all the benefits of a county employee is not in our building, but we do have a planner. do you have a body of knowledge of our code, chapter
Do I know chapter and verse of it, sir? No, I don't. Should I receive the appointment, that's one of the first things I would do. Just as a matter of interest, one of the areas that I have some credits in is interpretation of law. And I think that I could be of some help there. I have seen different aspects of the code in action and some of the activities therein. I think I can do a good job. Am I going to be an expert on it? I'm not a lawyer, but I can learn real, real fast.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ms. Deaver, do you wish to proceed?
I would like to defer until we have a full board.
Let Mr. Vincent listen to the tape or something.
Let Mr. Vincent listen to the presentation.
Okay. Ms. Deaver would like to defer. I'll accept that as a motion. Is there a second? A motion and a second to defer until we have five council members in our presence. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Yeah, nice job.
Thank you, sir.
Good job.
Thank you,
Mr. Moore, would it be inappropriate for Mr. Vincent to speak to the potential commissioner individually, or will we need to ask him to come back if Mr. Vincent has some questions?
No, I don't believe that it would be inappropriate. There is no case that he is deciding. There's no new procedure that's been adopted concerning the appointment. In the past, it was simply a motion. I don't think that would be inappropriate at all for him to discuss that.
And Mike has an option of listening to the tape and or doing both, and right. Even interviewing himself. That's good. Okay, good idea. Good idea.
All right. Mr. Baker, continuing.
Yes, the next item is amendment to rules of procedure. And last Tuesday, the County Council requested a proposal to amend our rules of procedure regarding appointments for the Board of Adjustment and the Planning and Zoning Commission, as suggested by Mr. Cole. Mr. Moore and his staff and Lawrence and myself tried to help a little bit. But Mr. Moore and his staff has worked on some possible ideas for this, for new appointments. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Moore.
Do you have a handout? I didn't bring my packet. It wasn't in the mailbox. Yeah. And I don't have that. If you mailed it to us, if you have an extra one, I'd love it. Or I can look maybe at Mrs. Deaver's or
Mrs.
Phillips's.
Way ahead of us.
We got one. Webb. We got Webb. One. Never mind.
Mrs. Webb.
They had Mrs. Webb doesn't need hers.
I need it back.
She needs it back. Yes. I'm fine.
When we discussed this last week, when it came up to discuss whether it should be in the form of a motion and what type of motion that should be, I suggested that we possibly may want to look at our rules of procedure. And looking through the rules of procedure, the only portion that discussed appointments was Section 16. And in 16, it appeared to be specifically referring to council members being appointed to different boards or commissions or committees. So we propose just adding a 16A for appointments to the Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment. Mr. Baker had sent over some proposed questions for us to take a look at, and those were the questions that were used today in the interview process. So we felt if that were being done, we might want a time period in which a nomination would be made prior to and in sufficient time that we could get a resume from the proposed applicant, also to distribute those questions to the proposed applicant or nominee, and also give council members the opportunity to add any specific questions that would be given by Mr. Baker, and then have sufficient time that those written responses would come back to the council for the council to take a look at, and then they could supplement questions in the open session as occurred today. This was very specific. I believe Mr. Cole, you specifically indicated, and it appeared to me to be the pleasure of the entire council, that this only applied to new nominees, or appointees, not someone who was being reappointed. So we specifically indicated in this that it only applied to new nominees. We also, because we were concerned that if there were a vacancy occurring, that the one-month period that we listed in here might be too long of a time period if there was a vacancy due to death, illness, or any other need that shortened the time frame for the process to work. These are simply suggestions mm-hmm. that we put in for the council to take a look at.
No, I think it's good. I think, it's, again, I think this is something that's important. It gives an idea. I mean, I think we learned here more today from that what we just went through mm-hmm. than I've ever had any exposure to anybody. We have a little feel of what the man has done. I only have only other one thought has popped in my mind is would, and I know they do this in other jurisdictions where actually people, you know, submit applications that maybe aren't a person that's a nominee, so that we could have maybe more than one. Is that something that the council would like to consider? Because you know, we have people through that, as long as they would meet the minimum requirements of being in the district of the right party and all these other things, is it possible that we would say that there could be, you know, a couple people that are interested in it and not just restricted to a councilman's appointee? Because in case that we had a situation where we've had now, say, Mr. Walsh here, who did a fine job, and but let's just say if we had somebody up there that didn't, you know, was disagreeable to most of what we felt or something, or the majority of the council, then we just keep going back and waiting, you know, for the council, one council person keep putting up a name and stuff like that? Or do we kind of open it up and say that we're accepting applications and one of them may be the council person's application and others may not be? Is there any thoughts on that? And we might get exposure to numerous candidates that would be interested in this position. Is there, Sam, you got any concern about that, or Vance, Joan, anybody?
It would shorten it up, I think. If you have a turndown, for instance, and the appointer wants to appoint someone else, you have the whole rigmarole all over again. You know, it gets lengthy. That might shorten up the process, but it puts the decision, the appointment powers in to the board itself, not so much to the particular appointer. But I have no objection to it.
To this board, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not yes,
the
to
board
this.
Of adjustment, right. Right. I don't know. I mean, just is it something anybody want to entertain? You like today, we could have had maybe two other people or one other person, maybe no other people.
I guess personally, I like to give the first line of deference to the council member mm-hmm. whose district that potential commissioner is going to be representing. Now, if that commissioner's person is not selected, these rules obviously make it open to the entire board to nominate someone, or the entire council to nominate someone. You don't think the council member should be given kind of the first shot?
No, I don't mind. No, I mean, I think the council person ought to be have their appointment, and that person should be designated as that, you know, maybe their choice. But I see no other problem having other ones, because again, if you're trying to come down in my district, Vance, and try to find somebody, you don't know anybody. In other words, we're shooting from the hip, and then we still, that individual we talk about, if we have these new rules, they're going to come up here, and again, we go through this whole process. As Joan just alluded to, it could take quite a while to work through to get the right person. Now, if we just said we're accepting applications for planning and zoning appointments, or we're accepting applications for Board of Adjustment appointments, all interested, please, you know, file whatever we require, you know, like a little resume and stuff, and please appear, you know, at such and such a meeting. Anyway, that's kind of the way I would see it. And then we have exposure to three or four people, maybe, or more than one, let's say. And other than that, if we saw somebody up here today that was, just, I don't use any names, but I could, you would know what I'm talking about. But if we had some, you know, people that were just not well connected, not understanding of what's going on, we might have to be set back, and it might take another month to advertise and do all that stuff. And then how do we all, who says, well, we're not going to give that person their appointment, and you know, what do you go in the back room and try to find somebody? I don't know. I just think it's a better, more open process if we just maybe opened it up and see what comes out of the woodwork.
Any member of the public could apply.
Yeah, I mean, make it
without a council member's
endorsement.
Endorsement.
Yeah, I'm proposing. Is there anybody have any? I mean, as a way to just to not have all our eggs in one basket. Go ahead, Dave. Dave wants to say something.
Just for your information, when we post for an employee position, we post the position for a certain number of days. We receive applications, and then we review whatever department
qualifications
it is, and the personnel reviews the applications. And they, for instance, recently we had a clerical position, and we had over 50 applicants, and then the group looks at the resumes, and then they bring that number down to mm-hmm. 5 or 8 or whatever they think, and then they bring them in for interview. So, I mean, that's a more complicated. I think that's a little more complicated, but I want to give you that as a frame.
Right.
Of reference.
I don't think we're going to get 50 nominees out of say one area, but I mean, I'm just throwing it out on the table. Is it would that make for better government here in Sussex County, and mm-hmm. or would it be just something you just don't want to do?
I think it's something we need to think about.
It's just something on the table.
There's one thing, George.
What?
The board adjustments, they make whoever's appointed in your district also makes adjustments in my district.
I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't necessarily they say they represent you only.
I understand it.
So that leaves the rest of us councilmen and persons, sort of have a right to say who we'd like to see on this board adjustment.
Well,
if you like them and they come before me, I don't think they're going to represent my area very well. Now, I think I certainly have the right to say I don't want them on there.
Well, that's fine. No, I think what we did today, Sam, has been very beneficial.
And we're going to appointments. Don't forget, we were elected by the majority of the people in our district. They entrusted us that we had sound minds and good judgments.
I demanded a recount.
Well, I've been thinking that about you for a long time, but that's okay. You don't have to repeat again. anyway, I feel
I know what you're saying, Sam. I'm just saying what we did today, I think, was very beneficial.
Otherwise,
these people, we never have an opportunity to ask any and get kind of any indication. This was positive, I think, what we did today.
I had no problem him coming for us. Anybody else can come if you want to bring them.
And again, maybe I'm just throwing it on the table. We don't have to do a thing about it. I just thought it's a thought that popped in my mind that this I thought was so beneficial. Would it be even more beneficial if we had other applicants? Because in case we had somebody up here that the majority didn't like, we'd have to start over again because our new rules are saying we're going to have that council person nominate another person, and then we go advertise and we bring them up. But anyway, I don't care if we do it that way. We do it that way. That's fine with me.
Yeah, we'll just leave it.
We can leave it as is right now.
We're probably not going to adopt this today.
No.
In the absence of Mr. Vincent, we'd like to ask Mr. Moore.
I have a question.
What happened? Okay, Ms. Deaver, let me get
you're
mine
bad.
Out. After the expiration date, if the council has not made a decision, what occurs? Is there a vacancy on the board or commission, or does the member continue on until he is replaced?
That's exactly what happens. They stay on.
They would stay on until there would be someone else appointed for that.
In this, it says the council member shall submit information, I believe, 1 month prior to the expiration term. What happens if they miss that 1 month deadline and they kind of forgot and all of a sudden it's only 3 weeks until the expiration date, which is June 30th in most cases?
But if this rule were adopted and we followed this rule, it would still be scheduled the 1 month. They would continue to serve until that new appointee came in.
So the expiration date is kind of a moving date.
Yes, unless obviously it was something that was tragic health-wise.
So you're talking about a 30-day period of when a name is put up before we do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it moves. In other words, if they miss that 30, here's the expiration date, July 16th, and on May 16th they forget, it doesn't mean that something changed. We just move that 30 days along with whenever the decision's made to
move
forward.
There would be no gap. There would still be someone there. And this number is not a magic number.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a number that we used thinking that that would give the council person a chance to appoint someone, to get information, to make sure people became aware of that nominee. That was the purpose. I will point out, and there's been some discussion concerning the individual council person appointing. If you look at the Delaware Code now, there is nothing that says each individual council person has an appointment to the board, or like to the commission. It simply says that the county council will appoint members to this.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the board as a whole, although by practice, it's always been that you had your own appointment to mm-hmm. the board.
Unless there was four Democrats and one Republican, or four Republicans and one Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the history got muddled.
All right, Ms. Deaver.
Yeah, under this proposed plan, I believe that you could bring more than one person to the county council, could you not, to be interviewed? Say if you had two people in mind who'd be very good, and you'd like the council to have the benefit of interviewing both of them.
That would be the pleasure of the council, and we could simply, instead of submit a name, we could put parens with an S for name or names.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which would probably be very rare that, you know, that would ever happen. But I guess if, you know, it leaves the door open. But I can't imagine me finding two people. Every time I find somebody, they go, no way.
Okay. If there's no other discussion, we'll let Mr. Vincent weigh in on this at a future meeting, hopefully within a week or two. We have a 4th of July vacation coming up soon.
Yes, we do. We do meet, of course, next week. We have budget public hearings next week, and then 29th, we meet regular meeting.
May be appropriate for the 29th for us to reconsider this.
Okay, sounds good.
If there's nothing else from the council, I would like to suggest, if there is no objection, that Mr. Moore and Mr. Burrell, who is Mr. Burrell, of course, being the Board of Adjustments attorney, begin a discussion to look at the code and see if there is opportunities to adjust the code so that we could maybe eliminate the repetitive applications based on specific aspects of the code. It may be the council's wish to modify the code to take some of the burden off the Board of Adjustments if it is just turning into a rubber stamp because it's kind of a glitch in the code. Is there any objection to that?
No, I think it's a good idea.
Okay. All right. Next item, Mr. Baker.
The next item is the request for an extension of conditional use 1705 filed on behalf of the Commonwealth Group. And you should have some information in your packet. Mr. Lank is here today. Basically, the Commonwealth Group has requested an extension for their industrial park expansion application, which was adjacent to the county industrial park. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Lank to explain.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The packet that was submitted with a cover letter, I believe, or a memorandum from myself to Dave, and also a copy of the letter of June 3rd from the Commonwealth Group. And hopefully I won't lose my voice. But I will make one correction in my memo. I made reference that he had granted, commission had granted preliminary approval. It actually granted final approval. And they've had final approval since April 22nd of 09, with all agency approvals since May 4th of 09. So the project's could have been started a year ago. I would note, and if you would read their letter of June 3rd, they pretty well substantiate that they've had various in the marketplace, the project to try to get some tenants or buyers or whatever. They've had various business interests showed interest. None were willing to commit or either lease or purchasing portions of the project. The current economic conditions have restricted the ability of the companies to commit to expansion, and even if employers were able to expand, the ability to obtain financing is non-existent. And these items, along with the length of the approval process, has hindered our ability to proceed with the project. Now, that's pretty much the basis. They say they continue to market the property for potential users, but will bring additional jobs to the county. And they're working with local and county agencies to explore various ways of which federal funding could be used as a tool. But as I said, it's in this project, they've had final approval for a year, and some activity could have started.
So they've had all agency approvals?
Have all agency approvals as of May 4th of last year.
And have not disturbed one bit of ground?
My knowledge. That's what I've seen.
All right. I mean, normally, I can understand the hardship being at the state agencies dragging their feet. Couldn't get a permit because they needed more information, stuff like that. But, you know, just because they can't market it and the economy's bad are not sufficient legitimate hardships for us to make extensions so that we can keep extending until they can find a buyer and basically that's what they're trying to do is find a buyer. So we need to have some standards for extensions. And I don't see it here. I don't see it. I don't think they're legitimate reasons for extensions. So somebody tell me where I'm wrong.
Ms. Deaver, do you have anything to share?
I just feel that it sort of ties up the land with no action, no development occurring under this under these people, where if it did were allowed to expire, then maybe somebody else could develop it.
Well, you don't do anything, you get an extension. I mean, that's not a good process to have here.
If it expires, it's void, did someone else have to reapply for whatever use they intended?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Started.
Mr. Wilson?
Well, I'm thinking about it. Well, I really give a good answer and just give you something I have thought about. But I can see both ways on this case. I've got a piece of land that I had zoned, and some I've worked with and some I haven't. And we're encouraging people not to build, but yet, on the other hand, we're encouraging you got to get started right away. So that could be.
Well, in this case, we expedited the application. They got consideration, got approval.
We're in a hurry, Sam.
We granted approval preliminary, granted 2-time extensions. The maximum the commission can grant is 2. It has to come before council if we even consider granting an extension. And they've got final approval. And it's really up to council whether they get another extension. And if you do grant an extension, it should be their last. Can't keep
it. What?
Should be their last.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I'm in favor.
If you grant an extension.
I'd be in favor. I know the problems they have out here trying to get through the highway department, DOT.
Sam, they've done all that.
No.
They got all those approvals.
It's all been approved.
Yes.
All approved.
Say it again.
They have all agency approval.
That
May 4th.
That's not the reason. I'm saying those are legitimate reasons, Sam. I agree with you 100%.
May 4th last year.
May 4th of 2009.
Okay, 13 months and some change.
And then they've done nothing.
Where's the paper? I don't know. Sheet.
So tell me where the hardship is.
Have they got their entrance? Have they
got
their
anything.
Entrance?
They have their approval.
But no entrance.
No activity.
Nothing. So,
if a motion is made, Mr. Moore, and it fails to get 3 votes, is there any reason why we could not reconsider this in the future when Mr. Vincent comes back?
Maybe that's true, what we should do. Wait to have council.
Well, if you have 3 votes, then the motion fails, and I would need to look at the. Rules of procedure to determine whether or not it could then be brought back and who would have to make the motion to bring it back up.
Well,
it would probably have to be someone who was voting.
Depending on how the motion was made, it could be that the motion was to approve, and if it came down to, say, 2-2, there is no approval, but then in essence, there's no denial.
No, there is a denial. There is a denial. You have to have 3 votes. It is denied. We have never, as long as I've been here, When we voted, it's final. That's the end of it. They can go off and challenge us in court, do whatever they want, reapply and everything else, but we have not. When things go, you know, south on you,
that bell
come back. So I don't know. I don't want to open up Pandora's box here and start a whole new thing, but historically, when it fails, it fails. We move on to the next issue. We're done with it.
I would agree on land use applications. This is not quite a land use application.
It's a conditional use on land use, Vance.
This is simply a request for extension. This is not
It's a stretch. It's a stretch. But okay. Anyway, we just, even on those issues, we have not done that. So
it doesn't seem to be consensus. Would anybody object if we defer this to the 29th? When Mr. Vincent's here,
that would be the most appropriate way, as opposed to taking a vote today and just because it doesn't go your way, you come back and you try to bring it up and keep bringing it up. Because we, how many times can we bring it up and not bring it up? And we just keep, you know, it'll be like that whack-a-mole.
Have a motion for Mr. Cole to defer.
Second.
I'll do that.
Second.
Yes, I will.
Ms. Deaver, any further discussion? I'll take the vote, Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes. I don't want to see our standards lowered any more under your reign of terror.
Is that directed at me?
No.
Okay.
Went over your head.
I vote to defer. Mr. Vincent, if you're listening, you should come back.
I'm sure he is listening.
Okay, Mr.
Everybody
Mike.
Wave at Mike.
We have one more. It's a request for extension of conditional use number 1668, filed on behalf of Carl M. Klink III and Melanie Klink. Again, you had before you a June 3rd, 2010 memorandum from myself to Dave Baker, and it makes reference to the conditional use for the Klink application, and they were applying for a country store, and originally they were applying for a country store and for the storage of overhead doors, and the approval went just for a country store. They originally applied in September of 05, were granted approval, or introduced in January of 06. Public hearings were held, decisions were rendered, and as of June 12 of 07, and it was limited to a country store only. In 07, an approved conditional use would be valid for 1 year, and you could request two time extensions. We reviewed the file and find no record of any time extensions, or were none. If they had been granted, the application would have been void this past weekend, June 12th. Things did apply prior. They couldn't ask for time extension because they had never asked for them before. Their only request would be to council. They weren't aware, according to the documentation, that they had a time limit and assumed that the property would be approved for the use, similar to a rezoning, but even though it was conditional. And they're requesting a 1 year time extension to allow them to acquire the necessary agency permits to get site plan approval from the commission and to start construction of their country store. And I attached a copy of their letter and a copy of the decision of council for the public hearing and decision made June 12, 07.
What do you usually do when you discover that a conditional use has expired?
They actually came in a month or two ago and asked for a building permit for their country store. Didn't have the agency, some of the agency approval they needed, and were advised that they had never requested time extensions and that their application could be considered void. They wrote to Dave on May 14th, so it's been a month ago.
Okay.
So in this case, it does seem like they are attempting to move forward.
They seemed to be surprised. Mm-hmm. Really did. A little different than the other one.
But when the conditional use expired, it became voided.
The conditional use was valid for a year, but you had the right to ask for two time extensions. They didn't, so we had advised them that it'd run out 2 years ago.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The way the ordinance reads, if the conditional use expires and they made no request, it expired. So it's already exposed. So we have a voided conditional use.
Technically.
Well, does our ordinance say?
It's not clear about extensions. It says the commission can grant two time extensions. Does anybody counsel?
Well, I understand all that, but there was no request. But I'm just saying,
council has granted extensions.
When When was their application approved by council?
It was approved June 12th, 07.
And nothing's been done. Anyway, I'm just saying it's voided. It's officially voided. It can't be two things. It's got to be.
I don't disagree. I'm just.
Like I say, it's officially voided. So we're trying to unvoid a voided.
The only option we felt we had extension, was to go to council and see if it was there.
If it is voided, you can't extend a voided application. So this has got to be a request for something different than what we got on the table here, I would think.
Yeah, that it's a real concern when they're requesting an extension and it's really not extending because it has been voided. So that is a real concern. I'm not sure if action has been taken by council, if there's any precedence in the past when it's been voided. Do you know, Mr. Lang?
I don't believe so.
I'll make a motion we defer and give our council at the end of the table an opportunity to research this one because it is voided, and we can extend a voided permit. It's called a permit for a reason, and so my motion is to defer.
I'll second it.
Motion to second to defer on this. The legal counsel the ability to look at the code and decide if there is an opportunity for the council to provide this applicant some type of relief. Any other discussions? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion.
Thank you.
Administrator's report.
First item on the administrator's report is certificate of achievement for excellence in financial reporting for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2009. We are pleased to announce that the Sussex County Council has been awarded for the eighth year the certificate of achievement for excellence in financial reporting by the Government Finance Officers Association. This award represents the culmination of the efforts of many county employees involved in preparing the annual financial report, our auditors and our staff, who on a day-to-day basis ensure that county finances remain strong. Susan Webb, Gina Jennings, Kathy Roth, Jeff James, and the entire accounting division deserve special thanks for their extra efforts to prepare this report. This reporting achievement is only awarded to those state and local governments who prepare a financial report with additional information, quote, demonstrating a constructive spirit of full disclosure to clearly communicate its financial story, unquote, as per the Government Finance Officers Association. We wish to thank our employees for their important efforts achieving this award again, and attached is a copy of the certificate and a press release by the GFOA. And we certainly do want to thank our finance departments and Mrs. Webb for all that they've done on this, because it is a very important award. Sussex County, Delaware, Where to Retire. As per the attached article in the magazine Where to Retire for July and August of 2010, Sussex County, Delaware is listed as one of 10 terrific four-season places with good buys. Information is provided in the article about the county, our beaches, recreation opportunities, retail opportunities and location that help contribute to make our county a great place to live. DelDOT Public Workshop regarding U.S. 113 intersection improvements on Monday, June 21st from 4 to 7 p.m. DelDOT will be holding a public workshop at the Millsboro Fire Company regarding preliminary design for improvements to intersections along 113 in the Millsboro and Ellendale areas. And finally, substantial completion. Engineering Department granted substantial completion to Henlopen Landing Phase 4 on June 10th. Developer is Bridal Ridge Properties, LLC. And this is located at five points in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Sewer District, consisting of 46 single-family homes. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Baker?
Is that financial story a fiction or nonfiction?
Well, I